Hi, I'm Kiki.
And I'm Kemi.
And you're listening to
Your Advisors Will See You Now, a podcast that will help you to figure out all of your options for life after high school. Hey, y'all, and welcome to another episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. We are in our segment called After the Degree, where after the degree, we just talk personally about life after obtaining our degree in adult life, adulthood, doing adult things that, you know, you don't necessarily learn about when you are in school or in college that didn't come with the degree. So today we decided to discuss career burnout. We did touch base before on after the degree, I believe, about like burnout is, what was it? It was career life balance. That one was mostly about career life balance. We did touch on a little bit of, you know, burnout in itself, but I think specifically we're more catered towards talking burning out within a particular career field that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
So we wanted to discuss that today. I mean, for me, I feel like I've kind of reached a peak twice in different times where I was kind of burned out for a field. So, mm-hmm. I mean, I can kind of start sharing about my experience. My mom, she owns a daycare. My mom has owned a daycare since I was born. So I was raised in the daycare. That was my first job, you know, and it was just great experience because my mom had a home daycare. Then she had a facility. So I used to just help with some of the classes. Then I used to facilitate a lot of the programming, the summer camp program. I like curated that whole program, budgeting and things of that sort. And then at one point I was a substitute for a classroom where I was teaching, just filling in for a classroom for a couple of months while a teacher was out. And, you know, I've been doing it for so long that I guess I would kind of explain it as a career burnout because for me, I just wanted like a change. I think what caused me to want to shift direction careers was one, I think it was the monotony of what I was doing. You know, it was great, you know, if I was first doing the summer camp program, I actually thoroughly enjoyed that. That was really, really fun.
Mm-hmm, with the programming, like, you love doing that.
I do. And that's still a piece that I really enjoy and I want to take into wherever I go next. Because that's so fun, having a theme. I really like connecting different people, kind of curating communities and having fun and just coming up with nifty ideas for people to have a good time.
Right.
So I love that piece. But I think when I started doing subbing, it was fun. I'm not going to lie. It was fun. Like just seeing like the light bulb moment when you're teaching someone and they finally get it and they're just like owning their skills and they're getting the colors, they're getting the numbers. But I think just the monotony kind of got to me after a while, you know, because you're doing the same thing every day. You're kind of, and there's also that burnout of if you're running into the same problems over and over again, that you're like, this is not changing.
Yes.
This is not what I want to deal with anymore. And it kind of became like in the early childhood education space, I started to lose a passion for it to an extent. And it also came to a extent where, you know, I love kids, but there are definitely some kids that, man, it's like, God loves all the kids. We all love the kids. But there are some kids that, you know, they take a little extra energy. And I was like, you know, I also still want to have kids in the future. So I think it's a good time to peace out.
A little bit.
Just to space out a little bit because I still want to have that yearning to have kids at some point. So I need a little breaky break. And that's when I ended up working in higher education. So I started off in like a receptionist position and I became like education coordinator, then became a student affairs advisor. And then I really, really enjoyed working in education. And that was like, oh, this is still education and I'm pivoting and I love it. But now I've also been in education for so many years now. It's so long. And I think, again, it's that monotony of doing the same things over and over again, the same kind of challenges. And also higher education has its own set of new wave of things that are coming into play. You kind of see different sides of it. And you're like, I'm not sure if I'm in love with this or, you know, different I could even say populations coming in of people and like different, like a lot of different changes. The COVID did a lot of changes, I think, for students now trickling into college. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of revamping that needs to be done. But anyway, I think now where I am is I would like to maybe see myself still work in education, but in a different way, because I feel like I'm starting to lose passion for doing the same old thing that we do all the time.
Right.
You know, and me and Kiki talk about this all the time before we even hop online. Like with working in school, you have like a season. So literally it's like fall. Fall is, you know, lack for better word. That lack for better words, like, you know, everything's on fire because everybody's everybody's enrolling. Everybody's new. Everybody has questions. There's a bunch of different offices that you have to work with. You're trying to communicate effectively. Some of the same old issues. Oh, you want to enroll in classes today, even though classes started yesterday and you haven't talked financially. Like you always
My blood's boiling.
You know what I mean? And then they want to be mad at you because they're like, well, I don't understand why I can't get a book for the class. It's like, well, hey, you know, you reached out to me, you know, right now when we've been trying to reach out to you for the past 3 months. So you just have crazy, and those just have crazy situations where you're like, you know, I kind of feel sometimes that there's a lack of love for this job. Or I think one thing that does suck too is when you're really trying to, if a student has an issue and they don't see all that you're doing in the background.
Yes.
To solve the problem. And you're like, man, I'm really like doing something that may take like 2 hours to resolve because I have to talk with this person, then well, this person can give the approval, but this has to happen. So I have to troubleshoot. Well, if she does it on this day it's not gonna work or da 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 da. And then like you go through all of this and then you'll have the student, you get back to them like, oh, okay, thanks. Or it's not like an appreciation or a thank you so much.
Yeah.
Or they'll even fall through on their half of like, I went through, I did all this stuff for you to get into this class that you needed. And then you're just gonna not even attend classes. I did all that, you know?
Right. It's like, times that by like 10 people, you know, throughout the week, like times that situation that Kimmy just talked about, 10 people, maybe more throughout the week, troubleshooting for 10 people and not getting appreciation.
Yeah. And it's, and that kind of frustrates me too, because, you know, I know any advisor that's talking on here, they already know course loads. People can have a minimum of 100 students to like 600 students or more on any campus. And you're trying to really pour out and do the best that you can, because you want kids to be successful. That's part of your job. You want to advise them to make the right decisions. But also you have to consider that if we have a caseload of like 200 something students, and there's all these factors that you try that are coming into places, everything's not going to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just have people that are just, you need, it's also like a partnership too. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's kind of, sometimes that's lacking, but you know, I can't poo poo on everything. There definitely are some students that are just fantastic. I still have students that I will think about to this day, like, oh my gosh, I hope they're doing well. Like, I wonder where they're at. I'll try to find them on LinkedIn because they were just overall great students, just great people in general. Mm-hmm. And I think sometimes, or almost with any job, I will say, it's always the squeaky wheels that get the attention. And that's what someone told me before. It's always the squeaky wheels that get your attention. And they're kind of, it's not all the students all the time that are bad, but it can easily overshadow the good sometimes. And that can kind of drain your energy, which I think is very frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, all of that. Everything that you just said. But I would say my story of burnout, like you mentioned, like the pandemic changed a lot of things. Mm-hmm. So I've been at my job for about 5 years, excuse me. And like the first like 2 years were great. And I say great because, and I think we've talked about burnout before and like, oh, this is what burnout is. Here's some ways to combat burnout. And I would say when I first started my job, I didn't, of course, you're like you're new. So I'm not even thinking about like, it wasn't really stressful. Like there's stressful moments, but nothing was stressful because I would come to work, do my job, meet with students, a variety. Some may have been challenging. Most were fine. It was easy. And I would say advising is like, it's not a hard job. It's just the, sometimes like the situations you have to maybe, like you said, have to solve, or, you know, the problems you have to solve can be draining. But, you know, I would advise students. We'd have different programs that we do to advise. I would go home. Like I never took anything home with me. Like when I left at 5:30, I was leaving work at 5:30, leaving that in my office. I didn't think about work. You know, I may have some stories to tell, but never like really thought about it. And then once we went home for the pandemic, it was like, and I know this, you know, this has never happened before in our lifetime. So it was, okay, well, drop everything and go home. And then when you get home, take a day, and then we're getting back, you know, we're going to pick it back up tomorrow. But, like, pick it back up how? You know, because, like, all the channels that students have, you know, like, they could just walk in to see us.
Mm-hmm.
All the channels that they have now, we have no phones. Like, I remember I went home with a Chromebook because I didn't have a personal laptop to use, and they didn't send us home a laptop, which is understandable. And I would hope colleges now have something in place in case there's, like, an emergency that your people have laptops to take home, like your staff. Because I'm over here taking students' laptops. And a Chromebook is not really good for anything except for writing papers. So, like, to have to, like, be emailing all, like, emailing and trying to have, like, video chat, it was not working on this computer. I got, you know. And so it was, like, we're trying to figure out. And I'm used to having two screens at work. We have one screen, like, to multitask, you know. And so I'm home in this little Mac, I mean, this little Chromebook. Students emailing, like, what do we do? What do I do? I'm like, I don't know either. I don't know either. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, especially during COVID. Hey, are we going to do this? Exactly. And it's like, I'm not trying to have a meltdown, too. I don't know what's going on. If we go open tomorrow, if we go and open, should I even bring my butt to work?
Exactly. Like, people, and I think with COVID, you know, we thought it was going to be like, oh, we'll be back to work or to school in 2 weeks. And obviously that didn't happen. but it's like, you know, people asking us, like, what do we do? And I'm like, yeah, what do I do? What do we do? Because I've never experienced this before, but I just remember, like, and I work at a college that has thousands, like probably 20 plus thousand students, maybe 30,000 students. And so imagine people trying to get a hold of an advisor or any other staff member, and all you can do is get to us through email, because they didn't set us up with, like, a phone until, like, probably 4 months into being home, or like a phone system, you know, until later. But it's like all email. It's like, oh, we're trying to set up Google Meet, you know, where maybe people were setting up, like, what's it called? Like, Google Voice number to call people. But it was just, like, chaos. And I remember, like, there were days I'd, like, work all day because I'm trying to get help people. And then I'm up to, like, 11, 12 o'clock at night preparing for the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And so your work is now at home. And that is what remote work is. But it just felt like I couldn't leave my work because it's, like, you know, I go to bed, I'm up the next day. So it was partly my fault for not setting boundaries, and I will take responsibility for that. But also, it was just chaos. Like, there was no plan in place. It's like, okay, we've been home, and I was like, my department had a plan. It's just like the whole institution has to be cohesive too. So yeah. And it that was what was lacking. Like, nobody was on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, I don't want to. This is not. Like Kimmy said, I'll use this word, not poo-pooing where I, you know, on anybody or where I work, but this is what I experienced and why I've become extremely burnt out. And again, it was partly my fault for not really setting boundaries and internalizing a lot of things, taking things really personally. But it just, again, felt like everything was home. Like, my space to be chill is now chaos. Yeah. Because, like, this is what it is.
but to your defense too, like, when you're an advisor, like, you take things because you want to help people, right? So it's like, yep, you're really trying. Absolutely. To it's kind of like sometimes you're pouring water out of a cup, but you need to realize, like, you need to refill your cup too.
Mm-hmm.
Because you'll have so, and if you have such a large caseload, you just want to make sure that people are getting the communication and time that they need, that everything's right, processing, but at the same time trying to keep track of everything. Mm-hmm. And then I think it also goes into another piece of, like, burnout too, is sometimes it might even just be the company or the organization that you work
for.
Yeah,
like, absolutely.
Because shout out to Clark University. Like, it was so fun. Like, it was great. Mm-hmm. I really enjoyed it. I liked the international students. The department that I worked in was very well done. And mm-hmm. one thing I salute them to actually was, like, our preparation for COVID. And I think we did get kind of, like, we had more of a heads up because we did have a lot more international students. So we knew, like, even the U.S., like, it hit. Like,
oh, that's right.
Happening.
Yeah, I remember that. You said that.
We were already starting to, like, prepare for, well, some of our kids can't even come back yet. And then we kind of were like, well, wait a minute. They're telling us about all this information. Now it's just starting to reach the U.S. So we started actively working into being like, okay, let's work with our, and that was just my department alone.
Right.
We're like, let's see if we can get our laptops, to get the IT access or whatever, I forgot what it's called, the VPN to bring home.
Yeah.
They did a great job of that. And, but I think sometimes maybe you're working in a profession and the burnout can come from an organization that maybe is just not organized in itself, mm-hmm. because it's like you said earlier, it was, I think you said it was like just different, your department was trying to get it together, but other departments didn't. And higher ed, everything is interconnected. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't see that. There's a lot of background behind the curtains, things that are happening. Right. So if you pay a deposit, someone in admissions probably has to flip a switch to do something. That switch is going to go to maybe a financial aid office. But then you're like, oh, I want to make a payment. It's like, well, did you process your financial aid? Because that's when it's going to kick to accounts. And, we're not going to hear about you till accounts comes in. Well, why can't I register for a class? Well, because the registrar has their hand in it too. And you're just sitting in front of me trying to yell. But I'm like, hey, I'm trying to help. Like, there's so many backgrounds.
And we're one piece of the puzzle. Like, we're literally one piece. Like, when you talk about enrollment steps, there are several enrollment steps and several departments attached to every enrollment step, like you're saying. So one person is not responsible for everything that you do. Like, one person is not responsible for every step of your process. We are literally a piece of the puzzle along the way.
Yeah. And so when it comes to stuff like that, you're so interconnected that you need to realize if you're having like a new program that's coming in or you're trying to implement a new initiative, it's going to trickle and affect other things in other departments. And if your organization is not good with organization or communication, you're going to see like a block in the chain. Like, you're going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, but like that goes back to just what I was saying. Sometimes maybe the organization can cause the burnout or the liking of your degree. Cause I feel like I kind of reached that point for myself where I worked, Clark was bomb. The technical college I worked at was really fun because it was just a different level, because it was just technical school and it was like automotive and diesel mechanics. Like, it was just a different, it was definitely a cool vibe. But then I like went to another place and I didn't really, it was different. A lot of the mechanics just weren't great. And we were trying our best for the team that I had, but there was just so many other things that, you know, needed more improvement. And I think for me, that caused a lot of burnout because I'm trying to construct my own way of trying to make things work. And then I'm like, well, if I'm trying to construct my own ways to work, then I need to bring to this meeting this, because this is going to affect everybody else. Well, but I'm also like, I'm at the bottom. Why is some information not being trickled from the top down to the bottom?
Right, exactly.
And so those things was just kind of crazy. And then you bring in the course loads again for the students. It's like, well, aren't being done well. Like, are we really being effective to our clients?
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. And that's it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't like that because, you know, we want to make sure that they're graduating on time. We want to make sure that they're getting the answers to the questions done correctly. And so I think something that I've even had to ask myself this question of like, well, you know, am I just an organization where maybe that I want to pivot out of higher ed because of that one place, or is it because I'm done with higher ed because I've been doing it for so long? So I think it's kind of hard to try to pull between the differences of what that is, because I do think some of it is the monotony of it, right? It's like fall comes, then December closes out. You have to make sure that the grades are in, who's passing, who's going to graduate for the fall. And then it all starts over again. You're trying to do, it's like, it's always a same kind of timeline.
Deadline, it's a cycle. Kind of yeah. It's the same cycle.
It's the same cycle over and over again. And then you have these same issues that are pop up as always. And, you know, so I'm like, is a part of me just trying to look for something new or like kind of change? Is it time for a switch in a passion or something else in higher? And either like maybe post-secondary education or just a different kind of role switch? I don't know. But I feel like those are questions to sometimes ask yourself if you want to stay in the same career or if it's time for a change.
Yeah, no, definitely. Well, I would say too, what you were saying, like the things that we're doing effective, like for our roles, affecting, positively impacting the students basically.
Mm.
And I think that's been one of my biggest issues is that we are not, you know, there's been like so many changes. Because there's been somewhat of like leadership change. And, you know, when you change leadership, like people come in with their own ideas And then somebody else can come in and they're like, oh, well, I have my ideas. So I think a lot of it too has been we haven't had time to like really test things out. Mm. Or it's like someone new comes and they don't really get to know what we do. Mm. And so you're making changes, really not understanding, like, and like really not talking to the people that are doing the work. And so mm-hmm. I think for me, the biggest thing has been like watching changes happen and seeing like processes just kind of spin out of control, because and not really help the students. I mean, students are still doing well, like they're still getting through, but there's just a lot of confusion. There's no like organizational effectiveness, because like you said, like if the chains are not properly connected and there's a break in the chain, that can really mess up the students' like whole like process. And so that's what I've seen. And so I think you ask questions like, is it that I'm tired of higher education as a whole or tired of where I am currently? And I think for me, it's both. But I think we see higher education, like we see, and that's the whole point of our podcast too. I think, you know, just saying that there's other options mm-hmm. too. But we, you know, because we are in these fields, like we see our own organizations, we see other, you know, we hear other stories of people are like, I'm dealing with the same thing at my college. So it's just kind of like, what's going on in higher education? Like, and I think a lot of it, it's becoming a business. Like it's literally becoming a business. Excuse me. And we are really losing, for some schools, like I'm sure, I know there are schools out there still. And I'm not saying that every school is not trying to get a student. Like the point of a college is to, not the point, it's education. It's education, but colleges are still going to be very mindful of success stories. They want to know like how many of their students are leaving and going and getting full-time jobs, like how many students are going and helping the economy grow. So that, you know, that's things that they're looking to those points, so like those data points, because that's how they get money back in. That's how they get funding for things to be able to help students more. But that's all cute. Like the success stories are all cute, but what about the problems that are happening too? You know, let's address like the issues. Let's talk to the people that do this work every single day and talk to the students, and we hear the concerns. Like we're the ones that we hear, oh, well, I didn't hear from this department, or, you know, I didn't hear this. And a lot of times I'm not, you know, I will say too, it's the initiative of the student. Sometimes they lack initiative, and it's like, mm-hmm. I'm saying I need to do this, but how, like, what are you doing to do it? Like, so, you know, mm-hmm. if you say, oh, I've been calling up here for 2 weeks, but nothing's happened. Well, make the time in your day to come in person. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to like put forth the effort as well. Like, yes, we are here to help and guide you, but you have to put forth the effort as well. So I think I've just seen a lot of brokenness in the system, and that frustrates me because it hurts the students. It hurts the students, and it puts more on us than needs to be put on us. And I will say too, like, we have just changed a lot of things within just a year. And imagine if you know, advisors are like, whoa, this is a lot. Like, we need time to adjust. And imagine like it was this way for 6 months. Then you change that way. And now mm-hmm. students come, and when they came last time, it was this way. But now we're like, oh no, it's actually, we're doing this.
Right.
And so they're like, well,
it's called like change management.
Yeah. And they're like, well, when I came last time, this was the process. And we're like, okay, I understand, but we've been directed to move in this direction. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens. Like I told you the other day, that student that, and so at my, you know, in my current position, we now have caseloads, and it's like appointment only. You have to make an appointment. And you talk about caseloads. Some people have caseloads of 1,000 students. Like that's one person managing 1,000 students. How can you, and you know, knowing our population of students, sometimes they wait till the last minute. Most times mm-hmm. they wait till the month before classes start. But how could you possibly see over, you know, 500 students in a month? You can't. So it's mm-hmm. like, it's like these are the things that we who do this job, we're like asking these questions and not getting the answers mm-hmm. from the top. We're not getting the answers from the higher ups as to like, okay, well, in 2 weeks, it's about to be that rush time. What are we going to do when we're all booked for appointments and we have students walking in here because they need to see somebody for their classes? Like, it's just like, that's all I want, is like support from the higher ups for them to listen as well and understand, like, yes, we know it's a trial and error, but like, let's trial and error and let's make it make sense. But I was telling you the other day, like back to your point about like there's steps, you know, a student reached out to me And because I have like 6 appointments a day. This is how most of our team is. We are meeting with students, 6 students a day for almost an hour long. Mm-hmm. And so because my day is, I'm trying to answer emails and have meetings, it's hard for me to screen for the next day ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Because it's every day is already kind of filled. And I'm not about to use my weekends to do anything because that's your time.
That's your time.
Mm-hmm. That's your time. And so I had a meeting like on a Tuesday and canceled the students meeting on a Monday night before I left the office. And I come back to an email the next day. And, you know, basically the student's like, well, why wasn't I told this before? How are you canceling my meeting, you know, the night before? And this said that my information already came in and, you know, kind of just going off on me a little bit. And I had to read the email and say, well, your information did come in, but it says right below, it takes time for it to be processed. It takes up to six weeks for it to be processed. So that's one thing. Second thing, you know, explaining to students that we have caseloads of 400 plus students for a lot of us. We don't have the time to always plan like well in advance. Mm-hmm. You know, I try to give you the courtesy of canceling several hours before. Like, yes, it was probably close, but I at least give the courtesy of like, these are your next steps. Please take care of this and then we can meet. But it's mm-hmm. like, no, then you came at me kind of sideways because you thought this was my fault. And it's like, mm-hmm. and I, you know, it's like, we have to explain, take initiative. And then, so when I explain all these things, the whole tone of the student's whole tone changed. It's like, and so, you know, as students too, I get it. They're trying to get in school. I understand. That was me. I'm just trying to get to school. You have to be very mindful of, like you said, they don't understand the background. They think it's like all eyes on them kind of thing. And it's not understanding that there's other students that are having the same exact issue. So I just think it's just the chain of command, or I don't know. I'm gonna keep saying this, like the links in the chain is what I'll say mm-hmm. are broken. So that makes it very hard for things to be very smooth. And that causes a lot of frustration. That causes burnout because you're like, well, I just come here every day and I try to do my best, but it's like my best is not good enough a lot of times.
Yeah.
Or, you know, we and every advisor on my team, we are great advisors. I know, same for Kemi's team. Anybody listening, probably you're like, my team is great.
The team is like, usually great. It's usually like just how yeah. structuring is. Usually the
exactly. it's the structure. It's like literally the structure that makes it hard for us to be right. It's the structure that mm-hmm. makes it hard for us to be like balanced a lot of the times. And like when you're not balanced, that throws things off. So I mean, I think I have tried to implement things lately. Like I guess the thing about the caseload management for us is like, okay, well, I manage my own. I'm like my own company. We're all kind of our own individual companies. So, you know, I can manage my own schedule. I make my day. As long as I'm doing what I need to do, what they've asked me to do, I can take time from, I can block time out for my emails. I can, you know, block time out to go take a walk 3 times a day because that's what I need to do to take care of myself. You know, I can make time. Oh, I have an hour of the day. That's my time to answer emails to students or open up like a group session so that we can talk to each other. So it's like you have to, and I've been coming in the morning trying to be balance of sound mind, but coming in and like writing down Bible verses and like affirmations, something to start my day. Mm-hmm. So I'm not jumping right into, you know, the emails and stuff like that. So it's like you have to also find things that keep you balance, but I think you also know if you're burnt out and over it, you know.
Yeah,
you will know.
I think one thing that I know not tech in like the actual databases that we use, in some places they're really good, some places they're really not. Like where I'm not gonna name where I used to work, but the tools that we had, I was just like, we have these tools, but they're not working to the fullest potential for me to even use them in the right way for the student. Like we had like the, we could sort of see a grade book, but we can't really see a grade book. So a student will show as red if obviously they're not doing well. But then you have some professors that would just put the whole grade book as zeros. Right. And they would just fill in the grades as they go. So I'm like, oh my gosh, the student is failing. I reach out to students like, oh my gosh, I'm failing. And then they reach out, we all reach out with the professor. So this is taking like one event out of the rest of my caseload that I have to do for today and all the other issues that I have to figure out today.
Exactly.
And we're like, he's like, oh no, I just didn't put it in this way. Da, 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 da. And it's like, well, you know, if this tool was just, or this was, there was better communication as to how this could be managed, we wouldn't have this. I wouldn't have to spend time on something that's minute like this, or even just like degree audit tracking. Like we have a tool that was not, it still had errors. And I was like, so how are we going to have a tracking tool that has errors? Because the students can see it. I can see it. We're meeting about it. We're looking at the same thing. It looks like they're all set to graduate, but they're missing a class somehow. How is that? And so I'm supposed to manually look at the students, like literally look at their transcript and write down if they completed every gen ed, every major course. And like, you know, that's going to take me like 45 minutes to an hour, right? For just one student out of my whole caseload. Cause then I have to look at it, make sure all the classes align, make sure they have X amount of hours to graduate, X amount of hours at that university, X amount of hours in that major, X amount of GPA for the major, X amount for the gen. So I have all this manual, and you're going to think I'm not going to mess up doing all this manually, for one. And I have 20 other emails in my email right now that I have to attain to. And on top of that, you want us to have interpersonal relationships with students, but literally I can't even tackle one item without taking most of my day. I'm like, I can't operate like a robot. And I would love to have interpersonal connections with students because that's a major part of having people retain to stay on a campus. I can't do that. So it's like, I can't work at that level. So there's just like things that need to be fixed that are just unattainable. And it's just also just like, why are we using these tools if they're not working accurately? So, and it's robbing us of our time of what we should actually be doing. So it just like running, I don't know, like we're trying to run to a finish line, but we're just running in a circle. Like nothing's really helping. And then just again, you have so many students and you're trying to get it right for so many students. Mm-hmm. And the number of error, if everything is so manual, there's going to be errors. And mm-hmm. then you're going to have that one meeting where it's the week of graduation. And then you're like, oh, you're missing a class. Exactly. Like, really? Like, really? Like,
yeah,
that's not cool. That's not cool.
No, it's not. That's
absolutely not cool.
Yeah. I think. I was going to say, too, like you're saying, like the reason we lack like the interpersonal connection with students a lot because we spend so much of our time troubleshooting. And that's why we got into this field. Like I saw people when I was in college, you know, mentors, they like cared about me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like you're not. Granted, I was in a scholarship program, so they had to keep tabs on me. But beyond that, like people that weren't my scholarship coordinators also, you know, checked on me and made sure like, okay, how are your classes going? How are your grades? Are you okay? They cared. And so that was, you know, that really touched me and I think a lot of us probably are like this. We just fell into advising or fell into higher education. Mm-hmm. But I knew I wanted to do something in higher ed. I would say I fell into advising, but I knew higher ed seemed cool. Like student affairs, like programming and student engagement seemed really fun for me. And that's why I was like, because I saw them care about me as a person, as a student. And I'm like, oh, I want to be that person too. But it's like you said, you're spending so much time. And of course, there's going to be students that come a lot. Like, you know, there's going to be students that come and see you or email you a lot that you get to know them. You know, I have one student in particular. And those are the great parts. Like I have one student in particular. She came in, I probably met her 3 years ago. It's probably been 3 years now. And we just, you know, I got to know her just like in one session, but she was like, well, I want to talk to you. And this was before we had caseloads. So, you know, it was, you can talk to whoever. And honestly, so you can email whoever, but I may be like, oh, your advisor is so-and-so. But before this, you know, it's like, we would talk. She would always check in with me and she's an adult student. I'll just say shout out to Cindy. She's really mm-hmm. like, she's just been really amazing because she's also older. But again, like this is a student that I'm the advisor, but she's emailing me to update me about her classes and her life. But she's also like, well, how are you doing? Like, you know, I know you're looking for, you know, a career change maybe, but like, how's that going? You know, she always asks questions and we've been, this is a friendship now. Like she's graduated from the community college. She's getting her bachelor's degree. She's going on to PA school. I wrote her a recommendation letter a couple months ago. And it was like one of the easiest things to do because I was like, I can speak to her highly. Like I can speak about her highly. And I was just like sat down and started writing. And I was like, whoa, like all I have to do is go back and edit it because it was just like, it was so easy to write. So, you know, that's just one example, but you have students that they come to you because they trust you. And that's how all students are. Of course they trust you, but you have the ones that come around often or email you often and you've made that connection with them. But I would say that's also kind of few and far between because, like you said, we spend a lot of time with thousands, you know, hundreds of other students and a lot of times like troubleshooting or, you know, it's like you can't make, because you're spending so much time troubleshooting, it's like it's hard to make those connections because when you have, you know, once you troubleshoot and you resolve it, okay, it's like, okay, well, here's 5 minutes. How are you? What are you like? What are your goals? What are your things? And it's like, okay, well, it's now time for the next student. I have another meeting coming up. It's now time for the next student. And I do know that the targeted outreach helps, but it's like, I want to sit down and talk to you. Like, I want to sit down and know you. And you can't, I know you can't deal with every student, but like even half your caseload or half this, you know, whatever. I want to sit down and get to know you as a human being. I want to come, if you're in a dance, if you're, you know, in dance classes, I want to come to your recitals and I want to support you in your clubs and organizations. But it's like, when am I going to do that? Because I also don't know you. That's the biggest thing. It's just, I don't really know you like that. I know your name because I see you in my list, but I can't tell you anything. So, I mean, I guess there's things too that we could be doing. Like, I know we have a system that sends out like birthday emails, but it's not coming from me. It's coming from the system. It's coming from the system. But it's like, okay, the student thinks like, this is my advisor. Exactly. But, you know, maybe at the beginning of the year, you kind of, you know, send a survey out, like, let me get to know you. But I also know that can be hard to keep up with that because it's like the year is so busy. So, I mean, that's something with your teams. You can, you know, something come up with your team, be like, okay, well, we maybe have this month where we're not doing much because it's like it's slowed down. So it's like maybe that's a month where we can try to do some programming and have students come out and like, you know, come like, you know, it's a time like come meet your advisor or we do some kind of like virtual event, you know, meet your advisor, meet your pathway, something, you know. So I think it's, you also have to think outside the box and be creative with things. But at the same time, it's like, where's the time to do that? So it's just sometimes it's just a vicious cycle of my time is just sometimes swallowed up by the difficult things of the job.
Yeah. I remember like, and that's what something I enjoyed at Clark because it was pretty good how it was really well organized. And then some students would have events. I remember there was like a student panel and it was students from like all over the world. And they were talking about, workplace culture and like at workplace etiquette in different countries and just getting a chance to like sneak out and like watch it. And I had like some students that were in my case. So I was like, oh, that's really interesting. Like, and just connecting with them, talking to them afterwards or like you said, implementing programming during downtime. So we even made what was it? It was kind of like before exams and we had like free food, we had cookies, we even had these dogs come in so that way kids could like unwind, therapy dogs come in. And that was cool, just like kicking it with them during that time, like how's this class going, just checking in with students over email, like, hey, did you get my email the other day? Well, how are you feeling? Did you connect with the professor? All right, awesome. Like, are you going home for break or you're staying here to study? Like, just those things are like, that's what I love about, those are the good parts about advising, because you're actually making those connections and is part of the community experience. That's how you make an affinity to your campus. That's how you have alumni that feel like they were a part of that school. Like,
exactly.
Like, you know, like those things make such a huge difference. And I feel like where I'm at now, this is not at Clark. this is not Clark I'm talking about, but I'm like, I don't even have that capacity to do so. And it's just like, it kind of stinks, you know, or mostly I feel like I'll mostly meet with students that are on academic probation, which is totally fine because I need to like have those those check-ins. But then sometimes, you know, again, it goes into retention, like you want a student to stay, but it's like, I can also only do so much if I'm having meetings with students. The student has been, you know, still not attending classes. There's nothing that I can do. I've connected them with all the resources and there's not an apparent problem. It's just they don't want to. You know, what more can I do? What more time can I expend on this if I have all these other things that I need to do too? So so that can just be difficult as well. Or there's like other students to connect with that I could even try to comb through to see who could be potential risks for not doing well. But
exactly.
In my time, it's just so skewed with other items to complete. So
You just reminded me too, like before pre-pandemic, you know, and of course, like student engagement was doing a lot of events. And I remember a few of my coworkers and I one day were like, okay, well, you know, it's kind of downtime right now. let's go rent out some laptops. And this is the thing they did before I got there too, but let's go get some laptops and like, okay, there's an event going on in the gym. Mm-hmm. Let's, you know, let's ask so-and-so if we can go sit outside the event. And like, as students are coming out, we'd be like, oh, have you been advised for the next semester yet? So like partnering with events that are already happening, because first of all, advising never gets a budget at where I work. And student engagement always has the money. So it's like partner with things that already have the money, you mm-hmm. know? So, and we had fun. Like one day we brought cupcakes, or I don't know if they were like leftover from something else we did, but it's like we, you know, brought cupcakes to students and they're like, oh, free food. And mm-hmm. yeah, it's like how you lure them in, you know,
always.
If you're listening, you're high in higher ed or student affairs, you know, the incentive game. You gotta bring food. Free food, free stuff, free t-shirts, whatever. And yep. you know, it was like really cool. We go sit outside. I think one day, did we have popcorn? I don't remember. But you know, it was just like connecting with other departments, which is cool. But also that's how you can pull the students in. Like you're just jumping on their event. But we haven't had the time to do that, because there have been, and I'm going to lead into another point in a second. There have been things that have been like put on us. So again, I'm going to go back to like, if I wanted to do that, where is the time? Because now it's peak time. And I don't know what it'll be like after peak, because we had one process for like 6 months, and then things were changed. And it's like, okay, well, all right. So now this new process, we're really going into our first like peak time with this new process. So I'm really curious to see like how after peak time will be, because again, like I said, a lot of students aren't seeing an advisor probably. And so we have other like course or semester sessions. So I'm wondering if they're going to like push those other sessions, and it's always going to be busy. It's always going to be meeting with students, and there's really no downtime, because that downtime is when you can be doing programming. So I'm really curious if it's like how it's going to change, or if it will change. But I also, you know, we in my office, you're just talking about like things have been added onto our plates. It's like, things, and I have amazing managers. Like they never like to tell us anything. Like if there's something new, I can tell they always dread telling us, and they're just following directions from their leadership, but they don't like to. And it's like things are piling on top of us. We're being given more responsibility, but with that, we're not getting more pay. And let's not, you know, I can't talk about burnout without talking about we don't get paid enough. No.
Hey,
we do not get paid. And it's like, we don't get paid enough, or there's no flexibility. We are in a post pandemic society. And I know I've heard a lot, like companies are trying to bring people back to the office, and that's fine. I've been in the office. Like I've heard so many students say we were back in 2021, honestly, on campus. Like it was like, you know, a soft reopen, but we were back on campus. But I've heard students say like, oh, well, nobody was here. And it's like, we've been here since 2021, like probably March. So it's like, where were you? But there is more flexibility in a lot of companies. You know, they're offering like hybrid work, or they're offering remote work. And I know what we do doesn't, you can't do like everything remotely. Well, yes, you can. Lies, because that's what Kimmy does. But you can. That's what you do. You can. You absolutely can. But it's just like, you know, if let's adapt to this new society where, you know, companies are allowing people to work remotely. You know, if I have meetings that are all virtual, I'm sitting at my desk meeting with virtual students virtually. I could do that from the comfort of my home, you know, and I'm just saying like that could be once or twice a week. We're not asking for every day. So it's just like having to like, let's adapt to this new society, but let's, if you're going to give people more responsibilities, let's appreciate them in a way that will help, which is money. You know, it's like the food trucks and like the celebrations are nice. What else? Free t-shirts are nice. But I live in a very expensive city. mm-hmm. And I'm commuting to work every day. Some people commute from an hour away, you know, and that's their choice. But it's still like, that's their commute. So it's like, let's do something. And I know a lot of it is with the state. As a college, think about how you can better help your employees, you know, have decent, sustainable living wages. And so it's like you can't talk about burnout without talking about money has a lot to do with it too. And money's not everything. It's not everything, because your work environment makes a huge difference as well. But I would say for me too, I was like, you know, I'm having to be here every day on campus, and I can be doing some of these things from my house. But also, you're just not, and it's just like the stage of life that I'm in. Like 5 years ago, what I make now maybe would have been fine. But it's like, you know, I feel like I'm getting, I would say we're like maybe mid-level career. I don't know. If we're like, yeah. like early mid-level career, it's like we should be earning more. So that was another thing for me. That's been another thing for me too. It's just like not feeling appreciated in that way.
Yeah. I'll definitely say working remotely definitely balanced out. It helped with the salary because I used to drive like an hour each way. So the gas tank was starting to go down, girl. And so when we did go remotely, that really was like an extra bonus. I was like, shoot, like, can this stay? Well, my other job.
Right. Right. But
no, that does make a difference. It really does. It does.
Yeah, it does. And I would just say too, like, if you're someone that's listening and you're like, man, I relate to what y'all are saying. I'm feeling burnt out and I'm not sure if it's like I lost my passion for this or it's just like momentary. I know one of my managers or my director, he says a lot. Like, he's come to the point, because, you know, like I was saying, I can tell when they dread telling us things. Like, it just, they know it's going to be rough on us. But they do it. They tell us. And it's like, he always just kind of says, you know, if you can't control it, just let it go. Not in like a way that's like, we're dismissing how you feel, but it's like, you literally can't control these things. Mm-hmm. So do what you're able to do. Do it to the best of your ability. If you're, you know, and he's always happy. If he gets a directive, you know, we can adjust it to make it work for us. Like, we're going to do what they say, but we're going to make it work for how we work here. What's the most, it's a better workflow and will help the students as well. So I always appreciate that. But I'm like, if you're feeling burnt out, talk to somebody. And I hope that you have a manager or a mentor, someone that can help you figure out where you are. Or a therapist, like somebody that you can go talk to and feel like you're in a safe space and that you're not being judged. You're not being, oh, you're just being irrational. No, someone that you can talk to and they're listening to you and understand what you're feeling. And that can help, you know, talk you through options. Because maybe it is like, okay, you're taking on too much. Let's see how we can adjust your workflow a little bit. Or, okay, you're not enjoying this anymore. What are things that you enjoy? And maybe it's time for you to move on to the next thing, you know? So, you know, think about those people that you have that you can go talk to. Cause if you are feeling burnt out, there's options, or hopefully you have people, like I said, you can talk to about it that can kind of guide you through how to get through this season of your life.
Speaking of different options, where do you see yourself? What do you see yourself doing next? I mean, by the time this airs, you will be doing something next, but if you want to keep it serious, what would you like to see yourself doing next, since we're talking about the current career burnout?
Well, I'll just go ahead and say it. Yeah, but Kemi just said it. By the time this airs, I'm not gonna be an advisor anymore. So yeah, I was just in a place, and I've seen a lot of people in my job leave, and I'm like, oh, I can do other things. I just always thought I was gonna be an advisor. Like, even before feeling burnt out, I was like, I'm always going to, not always be an advisor, but I'm going to do this for a long time, and I'm going to be in higher ed for the rest of my career. And I'm sure you probably felt this way. A lot of us feel this way. But then I started to see, again, the changes that were happening. And my top strengths quest, it may have changed now, but it has been adaptability. I'm always very adaptable to change. Like, I don't mind change at all. But I like to see change when it makes sense. And I'm like, okay, I see the vision. I see where we're going. I see how this can be beneficial. I haven't seen that. So it's a lot of like built up frustration. Again, a lot of lack of boundaries on my part seeing people like go get opportunities that did what I did too. And I'm like, oh, I can leave. Like, I can leave. And I've been in my job, like I said at the beginning, for 5 years, and it's just time. Like, that's the longest job I've ever had. So it was just time. So, and I can't. This is honestly a God thing. I applied to one job, like literally one job.
God gave me that favor.
In Jesus' name, no, for real.
In Jesus' name.
Because I had one of my close friends. Her sister works at one of the hospitals here. And it's, I would consider this like higher education adjacent. So it's graduate medical education. But she was like, you know, if my sister has a job opening or there's an opening in her department, like, I'll let you know. or I mean, I'll connect the two of y'all. And so we connected, we talked about what her sister does. And I was like, okay, that sounds kind of cool. At first I was like, I don't know. But I'm like, also apply, because you have a connection now. But literally, like, when I tell you, I was so frozen, like, did not know what to apply to. Like, I would see things and be like, oh, I can't do that. I can't do that. Like, just wasn't applying to things. And that, God works things out, like, despite what we're doing, he gonna work stuff out. But this just, like, really, I've felt, like, very much a peace about it. Everything has gone, like, very, like, no hiccups. They've been very accommodating. So I have a new position by the time you're hearing this. And I'm an expat. Thank you, Lord.
A higher affair.
Yes, I'm a student affairs expat. But we'll do an episode later about, like, more details. But yeah, just at a time. And I have very supportive managers. Like, they've been amazing and excited for me. And they've been very excited for me. So yeah, when this airs, I will no longer be an advisor. But again,
we will still do this podcast, y'all.
Of course, absolutely. I was going to say that we're always going to be advisors, because, like, we have too much skin in the game now to not know what goes on. And we have too much skin in the game. So we will always be advisors. We're still going to have this podcast for sure. But yeah, those are my next steps. So
And it's important to note too, like, this is advising in a way that we like advising. So it's totally different versus, like, we're kind of have a student come in, like, what's your GPA? What's going on? You didn't do this. And it's kind of working with an institution. We enjoy doing this podcast because it's fun. It's a resource to y'all. It helps you.
Yes.
It helps you to understand different options that are out there, to see if college is a fit for you, community college, whether you be going to get a certification or going to a trade school. We want you guys to understand the differences, your options that are out there, the different careers that are out there, understanding salary, understanding just your worth and your interests, and figuring out that process. We love advising in that aspect. So it's, don't be like, oh my gosh, they're going to quit advising in a college there. So are they no good for this? No, it's different.
No, we still good. Don't worry.
We still good. No.
We still good. But yeah, what are you thinking? Or what are your next... What are you looking into doing?
I mean, I think, like, I've definitely considered staying in higher education at one point and working up the ladder. But for me, the higher you work up the ladder, whether you be in a director position or, like, a dean position, there's some positions that you have to possibly return back to school for.
Yeah.
Like a PhD for, and I'm not doing that.
Right.
I got my master's in the name of Jesus. I hope that's it, because I don't feel like going back to be graded all over again. But... And then also just the realization of, like, depending on where I would go, probably because my portfolio is in student services, it would still stay in student services. The more you go up that ladder in student services, the more you are on call. And then the more you have to deal with the bigger issues that are bigger than the ones that I'm already tired of dealing with now. So
right. you see students less and less as well.
You do see students less and less. Exactly. And that's one piece too, that I was like, well, there are some directors that do a great job of, shout out to Laura, 'cause she did a really great job of this, even though she was in associate director. She still did a really great job of making connections with students and relationships with students. But in certain places, depending on the work that you have to do, it's more, like, kind of, and so I guess you could say, like, administrative, but you're doing more operations.
Right.
So,
yes.
So sometimes that can take away from making those one-on-one relationships, you know? So, and I just don't see myself operating in that kind of capacity if it's in a college or a university. I also just want to expand and maybe work with maybe, like, a nonprofit, or even just being in higher education. I see a lot of work that needs to be done in post-secondary schools, because we see so much of the back end stuff of the result of people coming out of high school, where I'm like, why didn't they teach all this in high school?
Right.
Like, I feel like a lot of, like, I feel like it's still that notion of, oh, go to college, you'll be all set. And it's like, there's some work that should have been done in high school before they just handed you over here all willy-nilly, having y'all in these loans and in this debt just to figure it out at this point. So I think I'm definitely open to working in, like, a post-secondary space of helping in some kind of capacity in that way, and still staying in the education field, or working maybe in a nonprofit, because I do want to help and make a difference. But I also think another personal thing that I enjoy doing is, like, programming and curating events. And I really love trying to facilitate communities and connections, and people can, like, get resources from each other and just establish connections. I really love that. I'm not really sure what kind of title that is or what that is out there. If you know, holla at me. But but I really do enjoy doing that stuff or putting on programs and events in that kind of way. So I do find that fulfilling. I do find that fun. And I've always done that naturally for years. And I just loved it. So
yeah, you're really good at it too.
Thank you. So that's just where I kind of see myself going next. It would be awesome if it's still in the education field, if it's somewhere else, you know, God take me to where it's going to be. Cause that happened last time when I was working at my mom's early learning center. I never saw myself going into higher education. It wasn't until I took like a job at a receptionist role. And then I was like, oh man, I think I could really see myself being a student advisor. I became an education coordinator. Then I became a student advisor and I like prayed on it. I got that job and I've been doing advising for so long. And now it's like, well, what else? I'm like, what else do I want to be? You know?
Right. Exactly.
It's interesting, but I mean, it's also great. You know, I'm still young. I ain't that old. You know, my knees hurt once in a while, but there's still
security. You're still young.
You know, so whatever God's got for me, he's got for me, and we'll keep y'all updated on that.
But yeah, I think.
But I won't be an advisor. I'll just say that. I won't be.
Yeah, so neither one of us. That's why I was like, do you want to say that? If you didn't want to, I wasn't going to make you.
Unless it's like, or something adjacent, like consulting or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, in this moment you're hearing this, neither one of us are advisors anymore.
At our universities or
yeah, I'll just say I'm very proud of Kemi. She made a big step. I'm proud of both of us, honestly, because we just took a leap of faith, something that we've been praying about together, individually. Our friends have been praying for us. This is just like answered prayer. And then I would say Kemi just gave you her resume and what she likes. So if you're listening to this.
And you need someone.
And you need somebody. She's amazing. She's super cute and she'll be a great face of your company. But like, yeah, Kemi's really good at like programming. She likes to put on programs and yeah, I think you just thrive like with connecting with people. So, I mean, literally, if you're listening and you just heard her resume and what she likes, you know, holler at your girl, please.
Thank you. And that's for a job, not like a dating.
Yes, for a job. Kemi's married. Yeah. No, this is for a job.
My husband edits this podcast.
Yeah, she's happily married. But yes. Yeah, I think we just Kemi and I's pathways are always very similar.
I know.
Kinda very funny. like oddly similar, but in a good way, because it tells us like, oh, okay, well, she's doing that, I'm about to do this. But but no, I think we just came like to a crossroads in our career. It just happened to be like we're in the same time in life where we're just like, you know, we're good. We've done what we need to do. We've made our impression, our impact. It's time for a change. And like I said, I'm gonna shout out I have amazing, when I first started there, my managers, I'm gonna call them out, OJ and Celeste, have just been like so amazing. So that's part of the reason I've stayed as long as I have, because they've just made it like, even in the times where it's like really hard and we're very frustrated, they've made it enjoyable. And they've created a team that is amazing. Like I have a great team. I have great coworkers who have, a lot of them are my friends. Like I'm still gonna see them. Like we bond around food. So I'm like, I'm still gonna see y'all. Honestly, my new position is not even far from where my current job is or where my old job is. And so I'm like, there's people that are like, have become my best friends, who have become close friends. I'm like, I'm not losing y'all. And so I think that like they've created a really great team dynamic, which again, that has kept me at this job for a long time. And I don't think I'd be the advisor or the person that I am without this job. So like, there's a lot of things where I'm like, man, this was rough, but just like a lot of like character building, a lot of seeing myself like, oh, you got to work on that. You have to work on that. But just like, yeah, just, you know, I think it just built me up a lot. So I'm really grateful for my, you know, time as an advisor. And even like this past 5 years working at my previous like virtual advising, working in student affairs. So it's just time. Like, I think I guess I would say like, I'm in a different part of higher ed. Like, it's still higher education. But yeah, I just have to shout out my team and my managers, because and there's so many others too that have just made my time where I worked like very amazing. And those are people that I know I'm going to be in touch with. So it's like that. And that's what I think makes it a little bit, it's like bittersweet, but it makes it easier to transition out, because you're like, oh, I know I'm going to see you. I'm going to talk to you. we're connected always. So yeah.
Yeah. That's all the places that I like transitioned out of. Like I had some really bomb supervisors and learned a lot from them, especially at the technical school I worked at in Clark. Mm-hmm. Like it was really, I learned a lot from them, a lot from their leadership styles that I admire and I want to take going forward for myself. And it was really inspirational. And I know I hope they're all hearing this because it really was life changing for me. So I appreciate that so much.
Absolutely. That's a good word. Life changing. So yeah, that's what we were like, this may be a good time to say where we are in our life journeys. And yeah, we're always going to be advisors. Like this podcast is going to be, we got lots more to talk about. Don't worry.
Especially these career chats. You guys love the career chats.
And yeah.
I think it's been hitting so many different audiences, whether it's people in high school that are trying to figure out and whether it's also adults right now that are trying to pivot themselves into different careers. So what we're going through is definitely something common. It's not just a one-off thing where some people are getting burned out of like maybe what used to be their passion. So we hope that this has been beneficial to you. Hopefully it sparks some thoughts for you too, if you are thinking of changing careers, but you know, we're with you.
Yeah. We're standing in solidarity with you. But, and if you're someone that's listening and you know, we just talked about we're pivoting out of higher education or out of student affairs specifically, but if you are someone that you've pivoted, that would be a cool episode. We'd love to like hear from you, see what you've pivoted from and what you've pivoted into. So yeah, please email us in this outreach. We'd love to hear from you and see how we can maybe work together and share your story as well. But yeah, this is a new era of Kiki and Kemi's life. This is a new era of our life right now. So I think it's like, again, this is answered prayer for both of us. I know you're like not exactly, but I do exactly where you want to be. But I do think this is where God has you, of course. But I think. Mm-hmm. I think you just need this time too. Like you're in Mexico, you have this time to like relax and really like really find what you're passionate. I feel like someone's gonna like hear Kemi, like see Kemi, like see your like resume, and they're just gonna be like, oh, I need you to do this, and they're gonna hire you. That's what.
I receive it, and hopefully it's a nice salary as well in the name of Jesus.
Exactly, in the name of Jesus. But you mean you've built up like even here, like we both like accumulated so many skills from this podcast. That we just like literally jumped into this. So I just know like you, like on top of what you already have, like you've built up so many more skills here. So yeah.
You too.
Thank you. Yeah, we have like this is us, like me, Kemi and Warren. This is the production right here. So this is the team. This is the staff. but yeah, so that's where we are in life right now. And yeah, thank you all for listening to our, I think that was, you know, that was a rant. That was a rant, but also just sharing where we are in our lives and where God's taking us as well. So thank you for listening. We really appreciate it. If you have questions for us, like you want to know, like, what the heck are you doing next? Like, we're going to give an update. But if you're just curious about, like, what we did in this process or, you know, how we got to these decisions, like I said, prayer. But if you're just curious, like, about our journey through this too, hit us up. We'd love to hear from you, hear any questions you may have. If you have suggestions for things, let us know too. But yeah, as always, thank you all for listening to this episode. We really appreciate it. You know, you can find us on social media, yawsinpodcast@gmail.com. And we really appreciate you all for supporting us. And we'll see you in the next episode. We promise. We're still going to see you in the next episode.
Oh yeah, we have many more to come.
We do.
So we'll see you. So,
bye.
Thank you everyone for tuning in and listening to the latest episode of Your Advisors Will See You Now. Please make sure to follow us on all of our social media pages and check out our website. Take a look at the show notes below.
And please make sure to subscribe and share this podcast. Also, show us some love and please leave a 5-star review. Catch you next time.
See ya.